We have breaking news out of the Middle East. After President Trump yesterday saying that there would be a 10-day moratorium on attacking Iranian infrastructure and energy in particular, apparently the Israelis didn't get that memo because according to information we have that just hit me moments ago, there has been an attack on not energy infrastructure, but on Iranian economic structure of their steel plants. All three, meaning this is the total of what they could do, or the primary anyway, all three of Iran's largest steel plants were struck simultaneously, Mubarakeh, Esfahan, and Khuzestan. 70% of Israel's Iran's steel output is gone in one night. Iran built its steel industry specifically to survive sanctions. Someone just hit the sanctions hedge. Someone, of course, that was going to be the Israelis. And you can see these sites or these videos here. They didn't waste any time in bringing those things up so that there would be evidence of that's exactly what happened. And now then the question is going to be, what are the Iranian side going to do about this? Well, we did not have to wait very long to find out. Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi went to X and made very clear right away that they were very unhappy. He wrote, this is 156, so that's about 2 hours ago. Israel has hit two of Iran's largest, he said two, it turns out to have been three, of Iran's largest steel factories, a power plant, and a civilian nuclear sites, among other infrastructure. Israel claims it acted in coordination with the U.S. Attack contradicts President of the United States, that's what POTUS stands for, extended deadline for diplomacy, that 10 days I mentioned. Iran will extract a heavy price for Israeli crimes. It was also some claims that they hit not just the steel plants, but also the cooling station of one of the nuclear power plants, which is why they say this directly violates President Trump's alleged deadline. Whether this was something that was coordinated with President Trump or not, certainly the Iranians don't care. They will assume that's the case because nearly everything else has been directly coordinated. And we have some situations in the past where Israel hit an Iranian target. They claimed that it was in coordination with the United States. President Trump, you may recall, had an X post, a Truth Social post where he came out and said, you know, in no way, shape, or form do we have anything to do with that. And then subsequently, Benjamin Netanyahu publicly walked it back. Not a lot of people believe that, I've got to say. And of course, again, for the Iranian side, they're not concerned about whether it was or whether it wasn't. They're concerned that President Trump, who claims to be in charge of all this operation, said that we are the ones that are calling the shots here. And when Israel attacks something, then it doesn't matter whether they say they didn't do it or whether they didn't do it in coordination with the U.S. The net result is the same thing. Well, the question now is, what are they going to do about it? And this is the big problem, is that we keep thinking that like somehow it's not going to matter. They're almost like we can do whatever they want. But here, also around the same time that Foreign Minister Araghchi made that statement, Dropsite News is recording that Iran has issued a series of urgent warning and evacuation notices from major steel facilities in Israel and multiple Gulf states, declaring them military targets and ordering workers to leave within 4 hours. So this is apparently not something that's, you know, in the days to come is going to be a problem. They're saying it's a problem tonight, our time and just hours within. So that said, within 4 hours, this was about, let me see if I can get the timestamp on this one. That was a little over an hour ago, an hour and a half ago. So maybe 1.5 hours of that four is already gone. Whether they'll hit that on the nose at the same time is unknown, but at least it says they got 4 hours to comply. The warnings attributed to the IRGC states that the sites have become military targets and are expected to be attacked within the next few hours. And that is Ashdod in Israel, Kuwait, Kuwaiti Steel, Bahrain, UAE, and Qatar. Each notice warns that anyone remaining at the facilities risk being caught in the imminent strikes, making expansion of the conflict beyond energy infrastructure to heavy industry across the region. And of course, any of this industry like this is something that could be catastrophic for the economies of these places. These things are extremely difficult to replace and to repair. So Israel, by striking this, one has to reasonably ask, Was this part of the original target plan? And why would they strike this the day after President Trump gave his comment that they were going to have 10 days to knock this out? Because, you know, that he said that we're going to go away from any strikes. And I gave him another 10 days and he bragged about that. Said, yes, you know, basically in my benevolence, I'm going to give an additional 10 days to where we can work out. They're begging me for a deal. Remember he said that? Well, now then that's all gone. And in fact, this is on President Trump's Truth Social. This was posted. I don't know if he knew that this was struck at the time or not. This is about 2 hours old, which means that that was somewhere around the same time. He says, I'm going to make a big speech on economics in Miami. Our military operation in Iran is going great, he says. So one has to reasonably ask, that timeline of when the claim is that when that was made is after the attacks apparently had been made, or maybe right around the time of it, since Foreign Minister Araxes was 2 hours ago or 2 hours old, then that was right about the time. And one wonders, did President Trump know about this? Is that what he means by the military operation in Iran is going great? The day after he said there's going to be a 10-day moratorium on that. Because if that's the case, then we're still locked in this case to where no one can take anything the U.S. says at face value. And in fact, you can almost say whatever you say, it's going to mean the opposite. I mean, we've already had three occasions going back to last year where we explicitly said we were talking and doing some negotiations, and then military strikes followed shortly thereafter. It was June 2025, of course, the start of this war, and then now here again after President Trump says, yeah, there's going to be a delay and a moratorium, and there's going to be missiles. And then there were missiles falling, and at least what's been reported, part of it was on an energy infrastructure with nuclear energy, which is even more alarming because of the potential for fallout and the potential to make that something even worse if there's a leak at the nuclear reactor. Still going to be watching that. This is so new, we hadn't been able to track down that so far. But the other thing is an economic target. And again, was this coordinated with the United States or not? Apparently, Israel claims that it was, but they claimed that last time. Trump said emphatically and was very angry, said no. But it gives the impression that either President Trump lied when he said that there's this 10-day moratorium. I don't know what anybody thinks that he's going to gain by that, because no one believes it anymore. So it's not going to fool the Iranians into anything. They would certainly not lower their guard. But what it does is it undercuts our ability to have negotiations in the event we get into a position where we need one. You see, there could come a day, and we may be getting really close to that, to where we may really need somebody to listen to us, where we may need them to believe it, and we may mean it. We may say, no, really, we'll have this negotiated settlement. We'll agree to these terms, and they may not believe it. And we may need them to believe it, because we may be in a really painful situation, meaning President Trump may be required to have to make some concessions to get us out of this war, especially if some of the things we've been warned about, even on shows earlier today, about economic things that may already be baked in and problems. And that's aside from anything that may have happened as a result of these strikes. Now, we may have to say, look, I'm going to eat crow, which we've been advocating. And we're going to have to just, you know, bite the bullet on this one. And we're going to have to give in to some of the terms they want to get this thing over with. And they may say, do you think we're stupid? We're not going to listen to anything you say. They may assume that it's another ruse, and they may just keep going in a way that will then be very harmful to our own interests. And that's why I've been saying from the beginning, too many people applaud this and cheer this on and think that there's some kind of benefit to being deceitful. And just saying, yeah, we're you know, 3D, 4D chess. We're able to outmaneuver them, and we made them think this. But, you know, all war is based on deception. So, like, it's a virtue or something like that. And it's, you can get away with it for a long time. But I'm just telling you, the way life has seemingly always worked for all of human history, thousands of years, eventually the guy who's in this position of strength that can just do things as he wants, and the other side and the other parties are too weak to do anything, that has an expiration date. And at some point, the tables turn, and all of a sudden you're not the top dog, or your power is not sufficient to cause others to submit to. And we're already in that to a degree here already, because the fact that Iran didn't back down, they didn't go to ground, they didn't ask for a negotiated settlement, they didn't even ask for a ceasefire. They said, no, we don't want a ceasefire. We're going to continue to fight until our terms are met. And they're willing to pay a big price for this. And it looks like this was forethought. It looks like this was calculated. And they know there's been, as of a couple of days ago, 10,000 strikes by the United States against Iran. And believe me, even though they had these underground cities and their production facilities are below ground, their storage facilities are below ground, et cetera, they're still suffering a lot. They lost their senior leader. They lost their national security advisor. They've lost the commander of the Navy and a bunch of other leaders as well, a bunch of other civilians. And they've suffered a lot of casualties. And yet they continue to fight on. And in fact, they show no evidence that they're willing to back down to anything. In fact, look, I want to play you something that was, this is earlier today. This is before this strike happened. This shows you where the mentality is on the Iranian side. This is Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi in English talking to, and by extension, an American audience to try to show you why they are so passionately and emotionally connected to this fight and why they are not in any kind of a mood to back down.
Among the most harrowing manifestations of this aggression was the calculated, phased assault on Shajarat Tayyebeh Elementary School in the city of Minab, where more than 175 students and teachers were slaughtered in cold blood. This barbaric attack is but the visible tip of a far bigger iceberg. One that, Mr. President, at a time when the American-Israeli aggressors, in their own assertions, possess the most advanced technologies and the highest precision military and data systems, no one can believe that the attack on the school was anything other than deliberate and intentional.
So, again, you can say, no, it was actually a mistake. We had inaccurate targeting, or maybe the missile went astray, whatever. You can say whatever you want to say from the American side. It might even be true. But it only matters what the people of Iran believe is true. And just like in the United States, it doesn't matter whether the Iranians were actually going after a bomb or not in certain respect. It matters what people in America think. And I showed you last week on The View how somebody who was otherwise actually against the war, yet they accept as just common knowledge that Iran is trying to destroy America and has been for all 47 years, and it has been seeking a nuclear weapon, and it was going to happen any day, and if they have one, they'll use it. Whether any or none of those things are true, or all of them are true, it doesn't matter. It matters what people in the United States, and especially the decision makers in Washington, believe, and that is what they're acting upon. In similar way, the Iranian side was already seething because of what they viewed as the intentional attack of us against their children and teachers in a school. And so they were already incensed on this. And Gary has shown you many times a lot of this video of how there's been lots of support for Iran. They're coming out even in the middle of some of these attacks. In some of the open squares, the people don't run away. They continue to have fireworks and flag waving, and they're coming out into the squares, even though they know there's a risk that the United States or Israel will attack them, and they're still coming out in support because they are incensed about what has happened. Well, that was this morning. And so now then here, when President Trump again, and in fact, Foreign Minister Araghchi in that same speech chronicled his complaints about how we had been talking with for negotiations and then use that as cover to get ready for military operations. And so the consequence of his speech was, why would we listen to them again? And so now then here, just yesterday, President Trump says, you know what? I'm going to extend, instead of that 5-day extension from the 48 hours, we're going to extend it to 10 days now, to the April 6th. So we got time to let diplomacy have its work, because Iran is begging us for a deal. Iran keeps saying, we're not begging you for anything. In fact, we're not even hardly talking to you. And the only thing we would talk about is you succumbing to our terms as well. So all that was in the mix earlier today when this strike happens. And the Iranian side is now threatening, and potentially even as we're on the air here, they may be preparing strikes right now. And they showed there's a number of cities where they have now said it's going to be targeted. And One thing we've seen with Iran, at least in this terms of this war, is when they have said they're going to do something, they have done it. And I mean, nearly everything. So I would not expect them to have just been a bunch of bluster or that they're not going to mean it. I suspect. And so far, when they have targeted something, they have hit what they targeted. So this could really set the region back and really expand this war, because it could deepen already troubling economies of all these regional GCC countries, especially. And this could cause a lot more problems. And now the question is, you know, what about the United States? Where are we in all of this? And so earlier today, we had Jack Keane, who was asked, you know, how far this is going. Now, understand, Jack Keane is you know, the leader of the, what's it called, the that website that he's on. I'm sorry, I just went blank on that he uses all the time. But he's got this basically a think tank. And he goes in there all the time. Of course, he goes on Fox News all the time. He's listed as their senior foreign policy advisor, something like that. But he used to be in the U.S. government. Well, he is very closely tied with the Trump administration. Many of the things he has said also have reflected President Trump's own assessment. We've seen that play out a time or two. So we have to keep that in mind, because when he says something, almost like what Abbas Araghchi said, we have to pay attention to it. And here's what he said earlier when asked the question, how much longer is this war going to go? What is the thinking in Washington, D.C.? He said,
the general time frame is as described, around 3 weeks. If it happens sooner, fine. If it have to take a little longer, we've said from the beginning that this is conditions based. The enemy has a vote. And what is the enemy trying to do right now? Number one, they're trying to personally survive and keep the regime somewhat intact. And believe me, that is an enormous problem that they have. And you can see that you're reporting on it every single day here in what is happening to the leadership. And the paranoia that exists inside of that leadership is real. And the chaotic decision-making process in there is real. So we're fragmenting that leadership for sure. And we have weeks to go to do more of that.
So he just says weeks to go. That's all we have to do. And then this is pretty much going to be wrapped up. And he said in there, it's really important. He said, you know, the President Trump is going to accomplish all the objectives he does elsewhere in that conversation there. He said Israel is going to accomplish all of its objectives and the U.S. is going to accomplish all of its objectives. Well, as a reminder, here's what President Trump said on the opening day. These are the objectives he officially set out.
The United States military is undertaking a massive and ongoing operation to prevent this very wicked, radical dictatorship from threatening America and our core national security interests. We are going to destroy their missiles and raise their missile industry to the ground. It will be totally, again, obliterated. We are going to annihilate their navy. We are going to ensure that the region's terrorist proxies can no longer destabilize the region or the world and attack our forces and no longer use their IEDs or roadside bombs, as they are sometimes called, to so gravely wound and kill thousands and thousands of people, including many Americans. And we will ensure that Iran does not obtain a nuclear weapon.
So that was the objectives. Destroy their missiles, destroy their navies, end their proxy support, and destroy their nuclear program. That's what he said. So now you hear Jack Keane say, well, we still got a few weeks to go. We just finished. This is the fourth week of it. We finished now four full weeks and maybe a few more weeks to go, and then we'll be done. Now, if that was the case, then you'd say, OK, well, most of everything, it must have been destroyed. And then I don't know. What does he think is going to happen? How does he think that after 4 weeks, none of those things have been accomplished? Because the missiles are clearly not destroyed. Their capacity, definitely not destroyed. They continue on. They have a sustained rate of fire, like I've been telling you, was likely from the beginning. It is literally playing out exactly that way, which is no amazing ability on my part to understand that. I listened to what they said, and I looked at what the capabilities that we knew they had, and it was likely that was going to be the case, and that's the way it is. Their Navy, no, you blew up a bunch of boats that were out in the open, but you haven't even touched the potentially 3,000 of these speedboats that have missile launchers on them, all along, that are all up and down that 600 or 800 mile coastline that they have. Who knows where a lot of those are? They're underground. They can come out when they're ready. You haven't even touched them. So no, you haven't destroyed that. And of course, the proxies are actually increasing. The Houthis, the Hezbollah, and now Khatib Hezbollah in Iraq is now igniting. And saying that they're going to take action too. So you haven't done that, and there's not even a plan to get that done, by the way. And then, of course, the nuclear material, all this 400 and something kilograms, still exists. And we only have some rough idea where that is. And it's almost certainly multiply spread out in different places, three, maybe four different places. Who knows what the number is? But unless Iran is stupid, and so far they have shown no evidence of being stupid, you can imagine that they are dispersed and they are extremely heavily defended. So if anybody has any foolish ideas about going to get them, they will not do well, shall we say, and that won't succeed at a very high cost in blood and treasure. So if that's the case, if all of the things that President Trump said our objectives set out with, none of them have been the case, to include the regime falling. And you know that was the original case. Everybody in the first few days said it was obvious they're going after regime change. We made it clear to them that that was the case. Well, none of those things have been accomplished. Then on what basis do you suggest that you're a few weeks away? I mean, this just goes to show you that there is delusional thinking across the board at the upper echelons of the United States. We started this war of choice that should never have been fought with insufficient resources and with militarily unattainable objectives. This was very clear. We were screaming this from the top of the mountains all before this happened, in the months before, that this would be a huge mistake. It is playing out that way now. Again, it doesn't take any kind of incredible ability to have an analysis to be able to figure this out. It was self-evident to anyone who was willing to look at the evidence and the physical capabilities, and the capabilities on the American side, the capabilities on the Iranian side, past performance, and I'm talking recent past performance, all of this was easily identifiable. And I know there were those in the administration that did, their voices were drowned out or eventually just not listened to at all and kicked over to the side. And instead, they're listening to the likes of Jack Keane and, as it turns out, Marco Rubio, who just a couple of hours ago, so around the same time that all this was happening, Marco Rubio was asked about one of the situation in the Strait of Hormuz, because that's the other thing. If you think you're going to win, then you have to have, within 2 or 3 weeks, you better have some kind of plan to get that strait open. You have to have some path to get that open. So far, you failed in literally every objective that you have set militarily. And now there's a new one that wasn't there before because the strait wasn't closed. Now it is. So Jack King didn't even mention anything about that. Well, Marco Rubio was asked about that. And I'm going to let you listen to his comment here. But let's start with the first thing that he says, because now you want to pull out the, oh, that's not legal card.
One of the immediate challenges we're going to face is an Iran that may decide that they want to set up a tolling system in the Straits of Hormuz. Not only is this illegal, it's unacceptable. It's dangerous to the world. And it's important that the world have a plan to confront it. The United States is prepared to be a part of that plan. We don't have to lead that plan, but we're happy to be a part of it. But these countries have a lot at stake, not just the G7 countries, but countries in Asia and all over the world have a lot at stake and should contribute greatly to that effort.
So you've got to bloody be kidding me, man. You want to now say, we don't have to run it. I mean, we'll participate. This is closed because you started a war that you thought you could finish in a few days. And now you have the audacity to, first of all, say it's illegal for Iran to set up a toll booth, which is basically what they've done. They are definitely exploiting this operation. The situation that has existed now, we handed them leverage. They have taken it, and now they're exploiting it. They're getting their oil out in larger degrees than they did before. They're selling it at a much higher price than they did before. And now they're charging tolls to anybody else who wants to go through there. I think up to like $2 million of a fee for a ship to go through there. So right now they're making money hand over fist compared to what they were before. And there is no way that you can stop them militarily. They have so many ways to keep that traffic shut down, and there's no military solution, or we would already have done it. And that makes Jack Keane's comment all the more perplexing, because you say, yeah, we're 2 or 3 weeks away from having it done. And there's not even a path for you to go in and say, we're going to open up the strait. Now, it could be that he has some ideas that certainly Nancy Mace, we've shown you earlier today, Senator Kennedy is really upset about a lot of this, that maybe they're going to try to seize Karg Island as leverage and saying, hey, we're going to send the Marines and the 82nd Airborne Brigade, and we're going to try and enforce that. Or maybe one of the Kashima Islands somewhere else, or who knows, maybe that's a feint, and God help us if they say we're going to try and take some of that nuclear material. That would be literally the worst thing they could do, which means it's possible. Or maybe they're saying, you know, all this focus on here was to make everybody look there, but we're really going to hit somewhere else. You know, not unlike, say, on the D-Day when we were getting ready for that, all the traffic and a lot of things, we intentionally deceived people in the Nazis to make them think we were going to come in at Calais because that was the most logical place. It was closest to the English Channel there, in the least travel distance that we would have, and we were bombing and a bunch of other stuff to make it look like. So this could be the same kind of thing. We could be having everybody look at Karg Island and been talking about it incessantly in the public, in order to make the Iranians think that's where we're going to come, and then really we're going to come somewhere else. I get about a 50% chance of that. It would be about a 90% chance in a normal time, but unfortunately, I got to leave about a 50% probability we're just that dumb, and we may signal exactly where we're going to go and then go do it. I told you before this war started, I said, listen, when everybody knows you're coming and there's been months of preparation and all this buildup, there's no surprise at all. And so a country that has lost the element of surprise, and then the other country has plenty of time to psychologically and emotionally get ready and physically prepare, that is the worst time to attack. And it's, again, playing out exactly that way. And if you've studied military history at all, that's not hard to have figured out or foreseen, like most of these things. Just like it's not hard to foresee that if we do any kind of ground operation, it has virtually no success, chance to even have tactical success. There may be some outside chance that maybe we get to tactical success. Maybe we see some piece of terrain somewhere. I don't know, Karg Island, Kashim, somewhere else. Maybe there's another point somewhere. Maybe periodically or for a short period of time, you can see something. Towards what end? If Jack Keane, if Marco Rubio, if the president, if Benjamin Netanyahu think, well, this is going to force them into opening the Strait of Hormuz, this hold on the lifeline. That's why so many people are advocating for Karg Island, because they're saying, hey, that's their economic, because 90% of their oil flows through there. So the idea is being, if we get that and you know, leave it undestroyed so that we have control of it, and then we can leverage that to have them open up here, and then we'll say you can have your oil back. I don't know. Maybe some people are thinking that, but the Iranians would be fools of the highest order to ever make that trade. And they're not. They're not fools of the highest order. To the contrary, as I showed you there, what's happened already with Abbas Araghchi, the fact that you've assassinated their supreme leader, you've assassinated Ari Larijani, the fact that the current supreme leader, who still has not been seen in public, but apparently is still alive, but he's calling the shots, at least according to the Iranian side. And he had his father, his mother, his wife, and at least one of his children killed in the strike that wounded him, apparently. He's not exactly going to be a guy that's going to be in a mood to be giving in anything to you. And as Alistair Crook has told you on our show many times, the mentality of the Shia religion is one about suffering and about martyrdom. And the idea that they're going to just give up because of 4, or if Jack Keane is right, 7 weeks of bombardment, you think that they're just going to give up? You know nothing about the Iranian people. They stood up for 8 years of the Iran-Iraq war, and understand that Iran-Iraq war was supported by the United States against Iran. And it cost them hundreds of thousands of dead men, and who knows how many wounded, probably in the more than a million, I would wager. So whatever that total number was, it is profound, and the damage done to that country was incredible, and they withstood all of it. So with that direct experience, why does anybody think that in a few more weeks, somehow you're going to get this wrapped up when there's literally no path to anything except escalation? And now here we are. And again, while we're on the air here, it is entirely possible that Iran could be doing some last-minute targeting. They could be waiting for that 4 hours to come, because remember, a lot of this is just stuff you program into a missile and into the launcher apparatus, and you just tell it where to go. and they don't have to move anything because a lot of these silos are already in the mountains. They don't have to bring anything out. They just hit the launch button, and the thing takes off, and it comes out of the side of a mountain. It comes out of the middle of the sand. We've shown you a lot of that before as well. So they could easily do this, and there's nothing we could do to stop it. We don't have enough air defense, et cetera. And again, I'm just looking at this. We're trying to be honest and objective. Given that President Trump said that you have 10 days yesterday that we're not going to hit stuff, and then now after all this time, after four, you know, now, so 28 full days from today, why, if this was on the target list, and by the way, that objectives I told you that President Trump talked about, all these things he's going to destroy, he didn't say anything about destroying the economy of Iran. And if we had fired over 10,000 a few days ago is when that total was reached, and we destroyed all this stuff, and Iran has been, or Israel has been destroying all this stuff in Iran, and they'd never hit the economic structure, especially those, why would Israel choose now, on the day after President Trump again said he was going to try to do some sort of negotiation, something that we desperately need in the United States? We need this war over with really fast. One would have to say that there is a probability, not even a possibility, a probability that this was done intentionally by the Israelis because they don't want us to leave. They don't want us to stop doing this. They want us to continue on. And whose interest does that serve, folks? I mean, you know the answer to it. It's self-evident. It's the interest of Benjamin Netanyahu. I won't even say Israel because it's not in Israel's interest either. This is something that is not in their interest. They are being harmed by this. They're being harmed now, and they're about to be harmed again. They've lost a lot of people themselves. They've lost all kinds of infrastructure, and now most likely they're going to lose some more here. And just, you know, this is a live look right here at the price of oil. I think this is Brent, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, this is Brent price right here, $114 a barrel. And you see it's going up. It went up another 5.8% today. That's a live tracker that we have there. President Trump needs that to go down. Now these comments here, that's only going to make it go up. And now everybody's going to be watching this with a lot of interest and a lot of concern. Because if there are those strikes, and if all these other countries are hit, let me see if I can bring that one back up again here so we can look at who that was. If President Trump does bring those up, these are the countries that Iran says that they're going to hit next. So Ashdod, Israel, Kuwait, the KWT Steel, Bahrain, the Fawleth, I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing that right. Of course, Abu Dhabi, again, they've been hit as hard as anybody. But if you take out that steel, there's some real, real problems with this, because these are things that are going to cause our allies lots of problems. And you can see the Iranian side is saying, listen, we're just taking the training wheels off of this deal. We're throwing caution to the wind. You hit us. I mean, they said this the other day. If President Trump had made good on his 48-hour deal to hit their largest energy infrastructure, they said, and they put out a target list on that too. They said, we're going to hit all these other things here. Now, they didn't then because Trump didn't fire that then. He didn't do it at the 48-hour, moved it to 5 days, and now has moved it to 10 days. But Israel's not going to allow that to happen, it doesn't look like. And if President Trump was himself being deceptive and saying, I'm going to get rid of this now and push this off to the April 6th, making Iran think that we're going to not do anything, and then there was going to be some ground action this week. And then Iran also had already said that's going to have the same kind of retaliatory movement as what you thought, what we already argued was going to happen if you hit our energy infrastructure. So that was already on a target list. And so it could be that Israel tried to sabotage what President Trump was going to do, but just it was a double hit because Iran's going to respond one way or the other. And Iran also said, and by the way, I'll throw this out there, Iran has also said that we'll retaliate in other ways. Ways that you don't know about, things that you haven't seen. Now, whether that means new categories of missiles, some new hypersonics perhaps, or if it means that they themselves may try some kind of infiltration, some kind of air assault operation. Don't think that it's out of the question that Iran may launch a counterstrike on the ground, maybe in the UAE. They may try to take some territory on that, because remember, as short as that is across the strait, from the UAE for the U.S. to land some troops on Qasem Island, for example, it works two ways. You understand that, right? And we're the Iranian side is prepared for that. I don't know that anybody on the UAE side is prepared for an air assault type incursion, because we have such little regard for the Iranian side. And we say, well, they wouldn't do anything like this because they're not as good as we are. I'm not sure that's a safe bet. I don't have any way of knowing this. I honestly have not done enough analysis into their ground forces to really know whether they can do that or not, though they certainly do have helicopters. I just know that they have claimed that they would do other things besides just missile retaliation. That seems like a reasonable presumption to me, and especially something in the UAE is that close. They might end up doing something like that. We'll have to wait and see. But the bottom line is we're doing everything we can to jack this up further. We should be doing everything we can to get this war over with. We should be telling the president, should be telling Jack Keane to shut the hell up, to get off the air, take a vacation. I don't know, go to Florida and hang out on the beach, whatever. He should tell Lindsey Graham to be quiet. He should tell Senator Kennedy, talk more. Yes, continue to talk about your concerns there. Nancy Mace, talk more about you're uncomfortable about ground operations, and I'm not going to vote for even a supplemental if it includes ground operation. You talk those people up so that can give you a cover and say, well, we have to listen to the will of the people, et cetera. That's what you should be doing. What we shouldn't be doing is lying more and setting the stage for doing expanding kinetic operations that will almost certainly, and you can, as sure as you can in human affairs that are always subject to change, it is extremely likely that the Iranian side will do exactly what they have said they were going to do, and they're going to hit those targets, and they might hit something else too, which will then expand the war. And if, God help us, within the next 24 or 48 hours, we actually try and do some sort of ground operation anywhere in Iran, all we end up doing is getting yet more Americans killed and potentially making a fatal wound to us. I have said this before, and I'll repeat it again here. If we launch any kind of a ground operation into Iran, and especially if we double down after a failure, it will be on par with the 1941 edition by the Nazis to invade into the Soviet Union, and will likely also result in the defeat and then the collapse of the American empire. I know a lot of people don't use that term because we're supposed to be the good guys, and empire sounds like, you know, the dark force in Star Wars and all that, or the evil empire with the USSR. But that's what we are. We're a global power. This could just absolutely collapse that for so many reasons if we do that, because everything bad happens once that starts happening. And I pray to God that it doesn't. We will keep on top of this for you. And if there's anything else to report, maybe even later tonight or certainly tomorrow, we will bring that to you. In the meantime, that's all we have for you now. We'll see you on the next episode of the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.